pass, it would close. And if you missed it, you'd have to wait for it to open again. Now I feel in my spirit that type of door is open today. God is calling his people to a place of decision, a place of a choice. And we won't have that opportunity forever, amen? In his mercy, he's opened a door for you to change the course of your life and destiny, the course of your family, the course of your inner being for the rest of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to call you to a decision, but first let's open the Word of God. My God. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Jesus. Let me tell you, God knew every person that would be in the sanctuary today. Amen. Amen. If you're here, this word is for you. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, he chose him this time, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead, come on, somebody needs to hear it today. Let the dead bury their dead. Amen. Quit going back to those things that have already died in your life. Quit trying to resurrect things that God has told you to walk away from. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And one more. And another said, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, which are at home at my house. Jesus knows that there's a whole lot that can happen from the point of your decision here by the time you get home. He said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, deciding within himself, I'm going to serve you, God, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And we're going to turn back, and I want you to read the screen as we look at a passage as Elijah calls out the people of God on old Mount Carmel. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, reading from the New Living Translation, then Elijah stood in front of them, the people of God, and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. Quit thinking about the dead. Quit thinking about those at home. Follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. Before we pray, I want to tell you that God is a creator and you are made in the image of God. You were made to create. And so during this reading of the word, you will create one of two atmospheres. An atmosphere of reception to the word of God, or an atmosphere of rejection of the word of God. So I will begin to pray and I ask you to decide in yourself, what kind of atmosphere will I create? In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, that I create an atmosphere of reception to your word today. I need your word. It is very obvious that you want to do something among your people, among my heart today. In Jesus' name, use this people to create an atmosphere of reception, God. Jesus, we want to follow you, Lord God. Speak exactly what we need to hear, God. You are the surgeon, Lord God. Minister to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. My God, have your will, Jesus. You may be seated. I want to preach today from the title, A Message to Those on the Fence. A Message to Those on the Fence. Amen. There are people in every church that are, you know, Brother Graham said this, they are going to go to heaven. They're going to go to heaven. They're resolved. They're determined, I'm going to heaven. And then there are people that always show up at church who are going to go to hell. No matter what's said, no matter if the greatest preacher preached the greatest revival, they're going to hell. Brother Pugh got up. Brother Pugh got up one day and he said, you know, I recognize that there are people under the sound of my voice that are going to go to hell. They're just determined within themselves. And God will not change a determined mind. Amen? But then there are a third type of people. There are always a people on the fence. There are people who can be moved. There are people who do have a teachable spirit that can receive the word and follow. Amen? God, give us a teachable spirit. Amen? We are who we are more than anything else because of the choices that we have made. Anyone recognize that? More than where you were born or who you were born to. Right? More than, oh, the hand that I was dealt in life. I didn't get any opportunities. You know, how many success stories, how many inventors have you read about who turned around the worst situations? Amen. And came out successful. You are who you are because of your choices. Amen. I believe there are a few things as grating to a person's soul than to hear about someone's excuses day after day after day. I am who I am because of them. I am the way I am because of them. These people back here, this person over here, you are who you are because of the choices that you have made. There are people who make a good salary. I think that's relative. A few people look at themselves and say, I make a good salary. It's always just a little bit further ahead than you are. People who make a good salary, guess what? They make a good salary because of the choices that they made. Right? Guess they put in the sacrifice. They put in the hard work. They went and got themselves an education. Right? They sacrificed and took on the risk of debt and worked their tails off and worked part-time jobs and sacrificed time with their family. And they put in the work because one day I want to make enough to provide for my family. They make a good salary. They're being successful because they made a choice and stuck with it. I believe there are few things withheld from a people who will make a choice and stick with it. Everyone knows of people in your life who just make a choice, change your mind. Make a choice, change your mind. Make a choice, change your mind. Amen. A double-minded man is what? Unstable. I love the picture used in Psalm chapter 1. The godly man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Amen. If you want to grow in God, you need to get rooted. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff of the wind. They're like a tumbleweed. They're here at church, this church, they're here at that church. They're here and they're there. No pastor, no accountability. We're at this job, I'm at that job. I'm moving here. Amen. If we want to grow in the kingdom, you've got to stay planted. Amen. You've got to make a choice and you've got to stick with it. Now, talking about the salary thing, it's the people who don't make a lot of money. I'm not down on anybody, but it's often the people who don't make a lot of money who look at other people and say, they just got it handed to them on a silver platter. You ever had that experience in your life where you're the person who, you know, you're not making minimum wage? And you have a family member that says, they've got it made in the shade. They've got everything that they ever want. Life, what's the phrase? Life isn't fair. No, it's not. Make some choices, amen? If you want something in the physical, you've got to put in the work. You've got to make a choice and stick with it, and it's the same in the spiritual. It takes some sacrifice if you want something spiritually, amen? It takes some getting with it. It takes some, come on, because people who make a good salary, you weren't there when they didn't get any sleep. You weren't there when they worked their bottoms off. You weren't there when they paid the price to be where they're at. I want to read from Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain brought something. It didn't please God. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." We've read this passage. We know this passage. Cain and Abel went to church. Right? Old Testament, post-garden, kind of kicked out of the garden, thanks mom and dad. They went to church. I believe there's a portion of the story where we just don't get to read where God instructed them the sacrifice to be brought. Because does God get on you about something you ain't even know about? We serve a just God. I honestly believe Cain intentionally did not obey God. Because we see his heart as the story progresses. It's time for the offering. It's time for the sacrifice. God's voice has gone out and said, "Children, come to me." And so Cain and Abel bring their sacrifice, bring their offerings. We were at dinner, Pastor. We went out to the Olive Garden. What'd you order? Chicken something or other. Chicken and shrimp carbonara. Could you imagine? And we had an awesome waitress. Not because of the service. I mean, the service was good. But that wasn't what it was about. She opened up her heart. She let us in her life. She told us about having cancer. She told us about just her life and going to school and working part-time. It matters when people are real to you. Amen? It matters in Olive Garden. It matters in the church. It matters when people are real to you. And so, Pastor, could you imagine you ordered this? You ordered chicken carbonara. And when it came time for all of our meals, someone brought you the extra vegan salad. That was your meal. No meat. Tofu. Not pleasing. Extra vegan. And get this out of here. I believe God saved animals on the ark, not veggies. Amen. Cain disobeyed God. So what was God's response at the disobedience of Cain? He didn't kick him out. He said, "Cain, bro, my son, why are you angry? What's going on, Cain?" You see, so many people hear the voice of God coming from this microphone, coming from an anointing pastor or preacher of God. They hear the word of God. They hear his spirit. And they instantly think, "God, you're condemning me. God, you're trying to hold me down." But in reality, it's the mercy of God, because he wants the best for you. And my God is so good. He's willing to make you uncomfortable to put you back in relationship with him. Because this was a whole lot bigger than just, "I brought vegetables instead of meat." This was disobedience to the king. Disobedience isn't just another flavor of ice cream. Disobedience is sin, and sin leads to death, leads to separation from God. Amen. It leads to a life that is miserable, corrupt. It leads to you in bondage, wishing, wondering, how did this happen to me? So God in His mercy says, I don't want to see you going down this road, son. There have been a whole lot of people who have been around a whole lot longer than you. And sin leads to death every time. If you don't believe me, read the rest of the story. What happens to Cain? The Bible says so clearly, he flees from the presence of God. God wants you in His presence. So He's willing to confront your sin because He loves you. So Cain heard this voice of God. Cain, at this point, was placed on the fence. What does it mean to be on the fence? You ever been on the fence about a big decision? Should I buy this? Vehicles? Vehicles are a big one, right? That takes some contemplation. How long until this thing breaks down on me? Is it likely to break down on me 5 days after the warranty expires? That kind of thing. How much are they not telling me about this vehicle? On the fence. He's on the fence. Living for God. Not living for God. On the fence. Being on the fence is a place of decision. It's where you decide, do I want to serve God and enjoy the goodness of God, or do I want to try my own thing? Maybe I'll go out and see how it is in the world. Maybe I'll live in sin. Because you know, we know there are only two ways of this life. To serve God or to not serve God. To go to heaven or to go to hell. Those are the only two options. And there is a fence in each of our lives where we come to a point of decision and to say, do I want to serve God and go to heaven, or do I want to miss out on eternity forever? Amen? We were reminded at men's conference that we need to be talking and thinking about heaven more often. Amen? The glory to come. Amen? That all of this present suffering is nothing compared to the weight of glory that is ahead of us. Amen? And so that is something that needs to be going through your head. When you hear the word of God that you don't like, that you talked about, Brother Darren, something that steps on your toes, where you're thinking, I don't know if my family wants to live that way. Pastor, that just sounds so hard. You are on the fence. You are making a decision. Do I want to go to heaven or do I want to go to hell? Do I want to be in relationship with God and have His blessings on my family, or do I want to live in sin, separated eternally from God? Amen. That's all there is to it. I don't mean to oversimplify it, but I'm going to oversimplify it. Amen. All living for God is making the right choice day after day after day. God, I'm going to live for you. But it can even be, you can even be on the fence about things bigger or different than just, I want to backslide or not. God's voice might be going across these pews, trying to call His people to do something that you've never done before. Amen? He might be calling you to give like you've never given before. He might be calling you to worship like you've never worshiped before. You ever had that happen? You ever had God lay something on your heart that you know it was God, you know it was the voice of God? You can't tell me you didn't take a moment. And if you're like me, you took longer than a moment to decide, am I going to obey that voice? Amen? That's called being on the fence. That's not a place of condemnation. That's a place of opportunity. To decide, God, am I going to serve you? Am I going to follow you? Or am I going to do my own thing? So Cain hears the voice of God. God is telling him, child of God, you keep living the way that you're living, you are going to walk out on God's goodness in your life. God tells Cain, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you need to rule over it. You know what that tells me? Cain hadn't sinned yet. Sin was at the door. He messed up, right? But sin was at the door. He was angry. Jesus was angry, right? Elijah got angry. Sin was at the door. But Cain's eyes, where were Cain's eyes? On the door. Amen. God saw the eyes of Cain. Cain was still in the presence of God. He had heard the voice of God, and his eyes were on the door. His eyes were on, I'm walking out of this place. How many people walk into apostolic services and their eyes are on the door? I'm still showing up, but I'm really wondering what it would be like not to show up anymore. I'm still here, but I wonder what it would be like to not have a pastor in my life anymore. I'm still here, but I wonder what it would be like to do this on my own. In us, in our humanity, we can't see down the road where that's going to lead. All we have is his word. And his word says, you go through that door. Sin lies at the door. You are walking out on the presence of God in your life. It's not worth it. How many husbands walk into homes and their eyes are on the door? Wishing I wasn't a part of this relationship any longer. I wonder what it would be like just to mess around on my wife. How many people walk into jobs and their eyes are on the door? It's this feeling of not being committed one way or another. And thank God, his voice goes out today and said, if you will serve me, will you not be accepted? Amen. God reminds you today, Cain, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care how long you've ignored my voice. You have a decision today to follow me because I love you. Hallelujah. I wasn't sure if I was going to go here, but it's fear that keeps you on the fence. Fear that maybe God isn't trustworthy. Fear that if I step out in faith, I'm not going to make it. Fear that if I sacrifice, we are not going to make it. Fear that if I obey, come on, he might be calling somebody to apologize to somebody. Has he ever moved on your heart to do that? He's done that to me plenty of times. That's the voice of God. Fear that if I step out, I'm going to look like a fool. But here's a reminder from John the Beloved. There is no fear in perfect love. Perfect love casts out what? All fear. That voice that's calling you to follow him loves you and knows the best for you. You can trust that voice that says to step out. You can trust that voice that says, follow me. I know that your daddy died. I know that you experienced the loss, but follow me. Follow me. I know you want to go home and tell everybody. I know you want to go and talk about it. But I know what happens if you walk out of this place not knowing that you're going to serve God. The reality is that you will never come back to me again. So follow me. That voice knows the best for you. I'm not condemning anybody on the fence today. And I'm telling you right now, there is somebody on the fence today. God gave this message for somebody. He made that very, very clear. Hear me. We've all been on the fence before. We've all have been serving the world at one time. And we heard that beautiful noise on the other side of the fence. We heard a preacher preaching the gospel. We heard the beautiful hymns of old. We felt his presence guiding us, and so we climbed a pet fence. Well, I wonder what's going on the other side. We've all been there before, saint. Amen? But the reality is that fence is never meant to be your home. God is looking for you to get over it and to jump and to follow him. and to forget about those at home. Forget about your losses and trust that the one that is pulling you right now as I speak, the one that his voice has been going out over your heart, has been drawing you to a deeper relationship with him, has been asking you to sacrifice some things, to break some relationships, been asking you to lay down some weight and sin that does so easily beset you. That God is trustworthy and loves you with a love that will not give up. He wants you a part of his bride. Sitting on the fence is no fun. It's miserable to sit on a fence, especially something like this. You know why it's miserable to sit on the fence? Because you're constantly seeing the goodness of God for other people, but you can't experience it for yourself. You see God moving that sister in the Holy Ghost. You see God touching that brother in the altar. But you're on the fence. You're sitting back. So you can't experience it for yourself. How long will you watch other people be filled over and over again? We talked to the youth today about God's presence going from the Philistines into the house of Obed-Edom. And David watched God's hand on the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. God blessed everything that Obed-Edom did. But there got a point in David's life where he said, I can't watch God blessing Obed-Edom any longer. I must have it for myself. And so he went out and brought sacrifices and worshiped God with all of his might and brought the presence of God before him. They took 6 steps and he said, you know what? This is a good time to worship and praise the Lord. He might not be at my house yet. Amen. But I've got his goodness. It's miserable to be on the fence. You know what? When you're on the fence, you're living the same fate as the demons. Could you imagine? The demons. They see all the goodness of God in all these mortal men, but they can never experience it for themselves. As long as you're on the fence, you are unstable. Hear this. You are on the fence. You are unstable in all of your ways, bouncing around and never committed. Even when you're in this place, your mind is not fully here. You're wondering what it would be like. I can't wait till church is over. I can't wait till I don't feel the conviction of God any longer. I can't wait until that preacher shuts up. Come on, as long as you're on the fence, you're waiting for this thing to be over. Amen. But when your feet are planted on the rock, you say, Jesus, preach it to me. Come on. I need the Holy Ghost. God, I need you, Lord. I don't care how much longer this thing goes. I don't care if I mess up my suit, but I need God in my family. Here's the cool thing about being on the fence is that you're closer to obedience than you have ever been before. You are so close to living for God. All you have to do is swing your leg over and jump all in. Quit thinking about it. Quit thinking about the ramifications if I sold out my life to God. And just trust that God is going to make a way. And I can tell you there is testimony after testimony in this place that it is so much better when you live for God with all your might than anything that the world has got to offer. There's a joy and a peace. Amen. But the cool thing is it's bigger than emotions. When you're living for God, you don't always emotionally feel it, but God's got your back. Amen. It is better to be late than to never show up in living for God. I want to say that again. I want you to hear me. Amen. It is better to be late than to never show up in this thing. I want to prove that. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. As I begin to close. I pray that God is drawing some hearts to make a decision today. I don't want to be on the fence any longer. The Bible, Jesus instructs us very clearly. There are two types of people living for God. Everyone say two types. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son. Okay, so we are one of these two sons. Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. That's one type of son. I ain't doing it. I believe there's people on Facebook right now. God is calling you to make a decision to live for Him or to walk away forever. You are one of these two people. The first one said, I'm not going to do it. But later on, he repented and he did it. Can anyone say that was me? Here's the second person. Are you this person? You can. The Father came to the second. God came to you and said, likewise, come and work for me. Come and live for me. And you answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. He made this decision in the moment. I'm going to live for God. I want to be apostolic. I want to really try. I want to give everything. But the reality is, he didn't obey. Whether of them twain did the will of his Father, they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots, so this is what he was been talking about, go into the kingdom of God before you. He's talking about heaven. Forget about your initial response to the voice of God. You've heard his voice calling you for so long now. Forget about how you tried to wiggle and squirm out of it. But God is calling you to a place right now where he says you can be like this man who repented and went out. He might be calling you to receive the Holy Ghost for the very first time. He might be calling you to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. If it's been a while that you spake in tongues and surrendered everything to him, he might be calling you to that right now. He might be calling you to give. He might be calling you to apologize. He might be calling you to start a ministry. But forget about how long you've tried to squirm out of this, because God's open door says you can walk through it right now. Quit letting fear keep you on the fence and trust the one who is calling you, because he loves you with a perfect love. And so if we could have everybody stand in this place right now, I'm going to ask you two questions. I want every eye closed. I don't want any exceptions in this place. Every eye closed. Because God is drawing us to a place of obedience. Two questions. With every eye closed and every head lifted and every hand lifted up. I want you to repeat after me. Am I on the fence? And what will I do about it?
What will I do about it?
This altar is open.
You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know you thought I was Lord saving. You came and changed my life. You thought I was Lord keeping. You lead me up inside you.
spoke into our spirit, Lord God. Help us to walk out of here, Lord God, on the right side of the fence. Lord, in Jesus' name, God. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. God did not save you for you to keep it all to yourself. Amen. If you keep it all to yourself, you will die spiritually.